This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 27th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look back at the Rose Bowl. Well, this year's hasn't happened yet, but we can give you the Rose Bowl of 1947, some rare radio tape of the game between Illinois and UCLA that went down in the books as a classic. We'll also get you a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. The outcome of next week's Iowa caucuses is expected to be close on both the Democratic and Republican sides. But as Sean Crawford reports, one researcher says a pair of candidates appear to have a leg up on their rivals when it comes to being nominated.
A U of I study used poll data in all states to determine the breakdown of delegates. Michael Cheney is co-director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at Urbana-Champaign. He says the analysis found both Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani with big leads, nearly 60% of all delegates available. But he admits the numbers could change once voting actually begins.
After that point, then there will likely be some shifting of delegates as candidates who have not fared well drop out of the race. They throw their support to other candidates. People who are in following or later primaries and caucuses may then be reconsidering who they're going to support if their candidate drops out of the race. So there's likely to be a lot of shift.
Cheney says the discrepancy between the voter polls and the delegate breakdown is more apparent on the Republican side, where many states still use a winner-take-all system, allowing the primary winner to grab all delegates no matter how close the race. I'm Sean Crawford.
Police are still looking for a suspect after a fight and an apparent shooting on Champaign's northwest side yesterday morning. Police say the suspect drove his van into the victim's vehicle in a parking lot on North Country Fair Drive. Officers say he then got out of the car and broke out the driver's side window with an unknown weapon. Shots were fired, but police aren't saying whether the victim was shot or simply injured by broken glass. The victim was taken to Carl Hospital. The suspect, who fled from the scene, is described as a Hispanic male in his 30s, 6 feet tall with a stocky build, driving a blue Dodge Caravan with possible front end damage. Anyone with information is asked to contact police or Crime Stoppers. Authorities in Kankakee County say a 68-year-old attorney has died after an overnight house fire. Limestone Fire Protection District Chief Jeff Brousseau says his department was called to the fire scene just a few miles west of Kankakee just before midnight. He says the house was destroyed. The coroner says the fire victim has been identified as Martha Danhausen. An autopsy is planned. Fire investigators are trying to find out what caused that fire. An annual report says Indiana's account that pays state employee pensions was 99% funded at the start of the 2008 fiscal year. That's better than similar funds in other states, including Illinois. Public Employees Retirement Fund Executive Director Taryn Magid says he's pleased with the fund's performance at the start of the fiscal year last July. The fund's assets grew by nearly $2.5 billion over the fiscal year that ended in June. A recent report from the Pew Charitable Trust found that Indiana is more than $10 billion short of funding pensions that'll be owed to retired state workers over the next three decades. But the report found that part of the state's problem is an underfunded teacher pension system. Illinois lawmakers are looking at a gambling expansion proposal to raise money for transit and statewide construction plans, and that proposal could put a casino in Chicago. Susie Ahn asked people in downtown Chicago recently for some name suggestions.
People thought up a variety of casino names.
Lucky Me.
The Viagra Triangle.
Daily Casino.
Some, like Tony Hill, were a little sarcastic. He came up with a name that probably wouldn't go over too well with the city.
What would you name it if you had to?
Bulls. I think they should, you know what I'm saying, put something else in instead of a gambling thing.
But Jerry Berger liked the idea of a casino and came up with this name.
Tax decreases. And can you give me a reason why?
Well, I think if we had gambling here in the city, it would help tremendously with our tax base. I think our taxes are getting really high, and I think it's hurting a lot of people.
For now, these name suggestions will have to wait for the gambling debate in Springfield to settle. I'm Susie Ahn.
The Urbana City Council has approved a special designation for the central part of town, which could become a new tool to promote its history, its culture, and future development. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The area, including downtown Urbana and nearby neighborhoods, is called the Joseph W. Royer Arts and Architecture District. It's named for the local architect. From the 1890s through the 1920s, Royer designed 18 buildings in the district, 14 of which still stand. Many are in downtown Urbana, including the Lincoln Hotel, the Champaign County Courthouse, the Urbana Free Library, and the 1906 Urbana Post Office, now home to the Rose Bowl Tavern. Alderman Dennis Roberts says creation of the Royer District gives the area a new identity.
We used to think, well, what's downtown? Well, we've got a courthouse, we have some lawyers, and a shoe shop and a used bookstore. Well, now we could say that downtown we have the Royer Arts and Architecture District.
It's not a historic district. The new district imposes no restrictions on what property owners can do with their buildings. But Robert says with promotion by special signs and a brochure, the Royer Arts and Architecture District can serve as a catalyst for development, notably in the area of the arts. He says the handful of art galleries already in the district could be augmented by special arts events and exhibits. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The upcoming Rose Bowl between Illinois and USC will carry on a tradition that's more than six decades old. In 1947, Illinois played in the first Rose Bowl to pit the champion of what was then called the Big Nine, now the Big Ten, against the Pacific Coast champion. Radio was still the nation's dominant broadcast medium, and it covered not only the game itself, but also the build-up to it and the aftermath. Recordings of those broadcasts have been stored in the University of Illinois archives ever since. Matt Ehrlich takes us back 61 years to when the Fighting Illini headed west looking for a little respect.
Then, as now, a lot of people thought Illinois didn't deserve to be in the Rose Bowl. Their opponent, UCLA, wanted to play Army in a battle of unbeaten teams. Illinois, on the other hand, was twice beaten, and some felt they weren't even the best team in their own conference. But they were, in fact, conference champions, and they took advantage of a new contract between the Big Nine and the Pacific Coast Conference to play in Pasadena on New Year's Day. Still, many wondered how they could hope to beat the mighty Bruins.
Good morning, Illini sports fans. This is Chuck Flynn bringing you another session of the Illini Quarterback Club of the Air.
Chuck Flynn was then U of I athletic publicity director. Before the game, he asked backup quarterback Tom Gallagher just how prepared the Illini were.
We're really ready to roll. UCLA has a good outfit, but they didn't want the Illini particularly to play against them in the Rose Bowl. Now that we're going out, I think we're going to give them a trimming.
92,000 people assembled in the Rose Bowl. A brilliant sunlit afternoon. The temperature up in the low 70s. A perfect day for a game. The 1947 Rose Bowl. Unbeaten UCLA, the Bruins, playing the champions of the Big Nine from out of the West, the Fighting Illini from Illinois.
Despite the great game day weather in Pasadena, it had rained constantly the week before, and Illinois hadn't been able to practice. They had brought only 42 players to California and sent two of them home for violating curfew. But on their first play from scrimmage, they set the tone for what was to come, as NBC announcer Bill Stern called the action.
Prairie Marsh shoots it out on the flat, and it's completed. Satkoff takes it on the 40. He's down to the 35, down to the 30, down to the 25, down to the 20. He's down to the 15, and he's knocked down on the 14-yard line. Sam Satkoff, left end of Illinois, goes all the way to the UCLA 14-yard line.
A few plays later, Illinois was in the end zone.
Perry Marsh shovels it off to Julie Rakovich. Rakovich into the center of the line again, and he scores for Illinois.
The Illini missed the extra point, and UCLA answered with a touchdown of their own to take a 7-6 lead. But Illinois countered with another long drive, sparked by halfback Buddy Young, one of the only African-Americans on the team.
Perry Marsh shovels it over to Buddy Young. Young's in and over. He scores. Buddy Young scored a touchdown for Illinois. He hit the line like an express train. He's only 5 feet five. He only weighs 163 pounds, but he can do 9.5 and 100, and brother, he was doing it.
Illinois went on to score two more touchdowns, the last just before halftime, to build a commanding 25-7 lead. The ensuing kickoff, though, gave UCLA fans their biggest thrill of the afternoon.
Goes all the way back to Al Hoyt, who takes it in his end zone. He's 5 yards behind his goal line. He's up to the 5, the 10, 15, up to the 20, up to the 25, up to the 30, up to the 35, up to the 40, up to the 35, up to the 50, down to the 45, down to the 40, down to the 35, down to the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10, 105 yards for a touchdown. I hope you can hear me. 105 yards.
That would be UCLA's last hurrah. The second half belonged to Illinois. It was, wrote one reporter, like watching a college team taking on high schoolers. Buddy Young scored his second touchdown early in the fourth quarter, and then the defense took over, picking off an errant UCLA pass and giving announcer Bill Stern yet another workout.
Down to the 30, down to the 45, the 15, the 10, the 5, and he scores a touchdown. Illinois 38, UCLA 14. I think if anybody had told you before this game began that the score in the fourth period, with almost the whole fourth period still to go, was going to be 38 to 14, you'd have said, brother, go see the nearest, well, go get your head examined, make it that way.
There was one more Illinois interception return for a touchdown, and then, mercifully, it was all over.
There she is, the final of the football game. The Illini win 45 to 14. That's all there is. The goalposts are coming down.
The U of I welcomed the Rose Bowl champs home with the biggest pep rally in school history, 6,000 people packing Huff Gymnasium. University President George Stoddard boasted that he had told a West Coast sports writer before the game that Illinois would win. The skeptical writer asked Stoddard how big a margin the victory would be.
So I tucked my tongue in my cheek and said, two touchdowns. And that turned out to be the closest prediction made by any expert on the Western Coast.
Stoddard predicted that Illinois' 1947 Rose Bowl upset would live on in memory for generations. And, just as with his pregame prediction, he proved to be right. I'm Matt Ehrlich.
Thanks go to the staff at the University of Illinois Archives for their help in making those historic recordings available. The forecast includes a winter storm watch from tomorrow morning through tomorrow evening to our north in northern and western Illinois. Meteorologist Scott Olthoff says today it'll be mostly cloudy in Illinois. In Indiana, there's a mix of rain and snow early this morning, then cloudy. And highs ranging from 32 in the north to 47 in the south, 37 under clouds in Champaign-Urbana today. For tonight, in western Illinois, clouds with snow developing late, elsewhere just cloudy, and lows from 22 north to 36 south, 32 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, in northern and western Illinois, snow heavy at times, accumulations of 3 to 7 inches. In northeast Illinois and northwest Indiana, periods of rain changing to all snow in the afternoon with 1 to 3 inches of accumulation. In central Illinois and northern Indiana, periods of rain and snow, little or no accumulation. Elsewhere, just cloudy with periods of rain. And tomorrow's highs ranging from 29 north to 52 south. In Champaign-Urbana, a high of 36 with rain and snow, but little or no accumulation. For Saturday, look for to become partly sunny with a high of 35, partly sunny on Sunday with a high of 38. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.